My question for you this morning is, how? How are we going to go out and reach our community? How are we going to take the things of God and make them known outside these walls? I counted this morning, we have 7 stacks of chairs in the back that are stacked up. How are we going to get those things down and fill them up with people? If you walked around this church any of the last week, you might have seen a picture hanging around the church, and it kind of looks like what's going to be up there. Because the word that came to me about all this was to become an ambassador. Paul talked about it twice in the Bible, and the verse from 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us." Think about it. God making His appeal through us. The rest of the verse says, "We implore you on His behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." So when I thought about an ambassador, because the United States has a lot of ambassadors, in fact, I tried to count them online, there's close to 200 people that the United States sends to other countries. And an ambassador really is one who represents the United States. He represents the President of the United States in official capacity in foreign nations and communities. Ambassadors are charged with protecting and promoting national interests, maintain diplomacy, organize visits, welcome visitors, and support resolutions. If you're a U.S. citizen living abroad and gets into legal troubles of some sort, it's the duty of the ambassador to ensure that that said citizen is treated justly. This doesn't mean, however, that the U.S. ambassador to Turkey can force you out of the country without reprisal if you've been found with a pound of cocaine in your luggage. But it simply means that he or she can make sure you've got access to legal counsel while you're in prison awaiting trial. Now, a lot of people might think, maybe the casual observer might seem that an ambassador's work is just, his day is just filled with giving speeches and glad handling cocktail parties. But ambassadors, their social engineering opportunities are actually an important part of strengthening internal relationships. The ambassador might learn of a concern and he can bring it to the U.S. You know, he has the ability to take those issues directly to Washington. The ambassador is also a chief executive in this foreign embassy and is in charge of making sure that the embassy staff abides by the local laws and customs. But I tell you all that because I want to tell you, what does an ambassador for Christ look like? If we want to consider ourselves ambassador for Christ, what does it look like? And I have these statements that I put in your listening guide. First, they're a new creation. They're born again. Romans 10:9 says, "Because if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved." If you're an ambassador, he or she is filled with the Spirit. Romans 8, "Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. In fact, that the Spirit of God dwells within you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him." As an ambassador, Paul told the church at Corinth, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells within you?" As an ambassador, you want to please God. Psalms 86, "I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever." I read an analogy that I thought was pretty good. There's an American embassy in England. Located in that building is all the power of the U.S. government on one square block. Everything needed from an American standpoint is inside that building in England. Because when it speaks on behalf of the government of the United States. Suppose another world leader said to the president, "Let's have negotiations together." The president would say, "I already have an ambassador in your country." And what he's implying is that when you talk to an ambassador, you're talking to me. So the Bible tells us that we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. I came here to tell you today, when people hear from us, they've just heard from God. He has given us delegated authority to speak on His behalf. And how can we be ambassadors with our mouths closed? He has given us the privilege of being a spokesperson. So we need to speak up. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "You were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." If you're an ambassador, if you consider yourself an ambassador, you shouldn't be ashamed. Romans tells us, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to also the Greek." An ambassador is trained. If you've been around here long enough and you fellowship and you're being a part of Bible studies and you're growing in your sanctification, Paul told the church at Philippi, which we studied last year, "Finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things." And when you think about these things, you're training yourself to be an ambassador. An ambassador is also capable. And I saw these verses in Matthew 25 when Jesus was sharing a parable. And He says, "Now after a long time, the master of the servants came and settled the accounts with him. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I've made 5 talents more.' And his master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.'" And think about it. If every person who called this church their home, if they spent 2017 as an ambassador, and just think if they took all the gifts and talents and that the Holy Spirit has given them, and they go out and they brought 5 more people here, 5 more families here. Could you imagine what this place would look like? It probably looked like it did on Christmas Eve. All the chairs were unstacked. Most of the chairs were filled. But that's what would happen because you're capable as an ambassador. An ambassador is dedicated. Romans 12:10 says, "Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." How would you do that? How would you outdo one another showing honor? Colossians tells us, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching, admonishing one another with all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart. And whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him." So an ambassador is dedicated. When we call for Bible studies, we want to get together, we want to fellowship. When we do our community groups, we want to fellowship with one another and grow in that grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we become an ambassador who's dedicated to take the things of God that we've been taught and go out and make a difference here. Lastly, an ambassador is making their appeal for Christ. We saw it in 2 Corinthians 5:20. "Therefore, we're ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us." And I'm praying that through this message that you're hearing these scriptures and seeing the words up there and thinking, "Man, God, where do you want me to go? I want to be dedicated to you. I want to be capable for you. I want to make your appeal maybe to my friends in high school or junior high, or maybe to my people on my job as I go out and work every day." Because God is calling us to make His appeal, and He's going to use us to do that. This morning in our community groups, I had a couple pages in there from Oswald Chambers, and I took a note because I wrote it down when we read it. There's only one thing, and they're talking about Paul. There's only one thing he lived for: to persuade people of the coming judgment of God and to tell them of the love of God. Oswald Chambers said, "This total surrender to the love of Christ is the only thing that will bear fruit in your life." Think about it. You want to bear fruit in your life this year, think about it. Become an ambassador. Share the things of God. How many people here ever heard of the show Charlie's Angels? Raise your hand. Ever saw Charlie's Angels? I mean, Kathy had that haircut way back, but praise God. But there was a show called Charlie's Angels, and think about it. They even made a couple movies. But these three young ladies would go in harm's way for Charlie. But it's interesting, as you ever watch the show, they never really saw Charlie. They never really knew who he was. Charlie was invisible to them, yet they were willing to do his bidding. They would get a call and receive information about what Charlie wanted them to do. And they would go out and represent Charlie's interests, even though it meant difficult times for them. They were Charlie's angels. And the word angel in the Bible really means messenger. The Greek word angelos, it means to be a messenger for someone else. And I thought to myself, if invisible Charlie could get three ladies to go in harm's way for a man they had never seen, how much more should Jesus' angels, Jesus' messengers for Jesus Christ, be willing to go in harm's way to represent somebody they've never seen? Think about it. There are missionaries right now all around this great world, you know, sharing the love of Christ, being ambassadors for Christ. There's money sent from this church alone to help missions and missions organizations because they're ambassadors for Christ. And I thought to myself, when I put this in your listening, God, even though we haven't seen him, we should be ready to fulfill his mission and share his love with others. That's an ambassador. An ambassador is born again. They're spirit-filled. They want to please God. They're not ashamed. They're trained. They're capable. They're dedicated. They make their appeal for Christ. So the job of an ambassador is to represent someone or something. Therefore, the job of an ambassador for Christ is to represent the King himself in everything that we say and do. Now, I want to spend the next 2 hours talking about the Apostle Paul. Now, that's supposed to be a joke, praise God. Because he was a great model of what an ambassador should look like. And I had these verses, and I think about these things. I was in Acts 20, and I found all these things. Because Paul was such a great model, because he desired to be an effective ambassador for Jesus Christ. Paul, he served with humility and compassion. I want that. He faithfully served God despite the persecution and the trials that he endured. And when I read through the scriptures, I found out these persecution and trials came as a result of relentless opposition from hypocrites and religious leaders. But Paul, he taught publicly from house to house, declaring that all must turn to God, all must repent, all must have faith in the Lord Jesus. Acts 20, he said this, "How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." If you want to be an ambassador, be like Paul. He took the message of Christ to everyone, everywhere he went. And as he was going from place to place, he would testify about the gospel of God's grace. In verse 24 of Acts 20, he says, "But I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself." I mean, that's a humble statement. Think about it. "I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Paul faithfully proclaimed the whole counsel and purpose of God. He said in Acts 20, and you can see it there in that verse, declaring to you. Another important part of Paul's ministry was warning Christians. As ambassadors, we're supposed to warn other people about hypocrites. We're supposed to warn other people about false teachers who will distort the truth for the purpose of drawing away disciples. It says in Acts 20:30, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Maybe that's where Twisted Sister got their name. I don't know. But Paul had already confronted professing Christians who had taught and embraced the distortion of God's gospel. He condemned them. And you look at those verses in Acts 1, 6 through 9. They're my four favorite verses. When someone comes and knocks on your door from a different religion and starts talking to you about their way to God, these are the verses you need to pull out. These are the verses. Paul said, I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting him who called you into the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there's another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. We can turn on TV every day. We can turn into different news channels. We can watch different shows who are distorting the gospel of Christ. But then Paul says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a different gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. And he goes on and repeats it again in verse 9. So any human effort that is added to the gospel nullifies God's grace, which is the only means in which sinners can be saved. So for this reason, Paul became an ambassador, and he proclaimed what the gospel is as well as what it's not. And this method is so important. If we choose to become an ambassador, if we choose to take the gospel and bring it outside these walls, we're going to have to be ready to tell people what the gospel is and what the gospel isn't. I mean, we had these vision. It's this vision in this church that the elders came and got together and prayed with to reach and to lead all people to love God, to love others, and live missionally. And if you want to live missionally, you have to become an ambassador. You have to know the gospel. You have to be able to share the gospel because we have a mission here. We want to make disciples. Elizabeth's up here telling you about all these Bible studies are starting this week. And why do we want to do that? Because we want to disciple you. We want to prepare you. We want you to get ready to go out and make a difference for Him. We just don't want to gather here and get a lot of information into our hearts. And we've done that here. There are a lot of strong Christians sitting right here in this sanctuary who know the Lord, who have a passion for His Word, and have a desire to go and make a difference for Him. But our mission is to make disciples who then make disciples. We don't want to give you a bunch of information. We want to see transformation. We want to see transformation in your hearts and your lives. And that's why we have this process of gathering and growing and then going. And the going part is becoming an ambassador. Paul taught salvation is by grace and not of works, and by God's mercy and not of righteous deeds. You can see it there in Ephesians chapter 2. When he told that church at Ephesus, for by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of your own doing. It's a gift of God and not a result of works, so that no one can boast. So if we want to follow Paul's examples as becoming an ambassador and appealing his gospel to other people, we got to realize that sinners are only purified by the precious blood of Jesus, not by any other means. Sinners have their sins removed only by the redemptive work of Christ and not by human efforts, as many false religions teach. So for us to follow Paul's example that I'm trying to get out today, we're supposed to reach out. We're supposed to teach misguided Christians the truth and get them off that broad road that Jesus talks about that leads to destruction, and point them to the narrow road that leads to eternal life. Paul also urged believers not to be partakers or partners with deceivers. You can see that in those verses in Ephesians 5, 6, and 7. There are many believers that embrace false religions as a valid Christian denomination. Paul, as an ambassador, wanted to tell people that. Jesus wrote, while men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. Sometimes churches, you'll find many more tares and wheats and thus reflect a picture of the world rather than a sanctified sanctuary of believers. Paul, being aware of many counterfeit believers who had believed in vain or continued to sin, he urged them to examine themselves. See whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Or you do not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. Those who believed in vain are those who departed from the gospel Paul delivered. Christ died to save sinners. Christ was raised from the dead, and Christ appeared to many witnesses. And you can see that in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Read that sometimes. A great explanation of the gospel. But Paul proclaimed the word of God in all its power. He did not speak words of human wisdom. He let the cross be empty. He said at the church in Corinth, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of all its power." Paul's focus and commitment as an ambassador was to reflect so much of it in his writings. And I love these two verses. "To the weak I became weak," Paul said, "that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings." That's what an ambassador is supposed to look like. He said, "For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." By divine revelation, I put this in your listening guide, Paul knew there was only one message of hope, only one gospel. For in the gospel we observe the greatest exchange in human history, man's sin for God's righteousness. Paul summed up this graceful and merciful substitution in one verse. He said it in 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So as we follow Paul's example and become ambassadors in 2017, that we know Christ and him crucified, that we proclaim this powerful message to those who have embraced another gospel. 1 Corinthians 2:2 says, "For I decided not to know nothing among you except Christ Jesus and him crucified." He urged his disciples, and I'm urging you today, to hold firmly to the gospel that we learn in these scriptures. And since all true Christians have been entrusted with the gospel, let us be exhorted by the words of Christ. And I thought about this verse because the ladies are going to be studying Thessalonians. Because 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says, "Just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please men, but to please God who tests our hearts." Ambassadors speak, but they don't speak to please men, but to please God. He's going to test our hearts this year. And does anyone feel like God is testing your heart today? Because the true gospel will disturb those who hear it, for it speaks at both heaven and hell. The gospel informs sinners of the righteousness of God and his demand for the payment of the infinite debt caused by sin. And with this in mind, our primary motivation must always be to glorify God by accurately reflecting the heart of his revelation of mankind. Pastor Tony Evans shared this one time. He said, "If I were to take a $100 bill, and I found a dollar in my wallet, and we'll say it's a $100 bill. But he said, if I was to take a $100 bill and ask a room full of people, especially the students here, who would like to have this $100 bill? Raise your hand if anybody would like a $100 bill. Praise God. All right." He said, "If I were to take that same bill and ball it up, crumble it so badly, and ask, would anybody still want it? I think the answer would be yes. He said, then if I took the $100 bill and stepped on it, those same people would probably be interested. Yes, he still has his hand up. I don't blame you. Would still be interested in getting it. Why? Because even though this bill had been through a lot, it still would have not lost its value. Think about it. The same applies to us when we go through difficult trials. Even when you've been through a lot, maybe you've been stepped on, maybe you've been abused, maybe you're going through some kind of thing with your health, you haven't lost your value to God. He still loves you. He still wants to use you. He still wants you to be an ambassador. Even if you've gotten dirty, when God looks at you, He does not consider you chump change. I was going to say Trump change, but I changed after that. When it looks like your whole world is caving in on you and none of your prayers have been answered, there's good news. You're still worth something to God, and He still wants you. He wants you to be an ambassador. Remember, as we close, if the ushers want to come forward, remember, ambassadors are born again. Ambassadors are Spirit-filled. Ambassadors want to please God. Ambassadors are not ashamed of the gospel. They're trained. They're being sanctified. They're capable. They're dedicated. They're making an appeal for Christ. Anyone today want to make a commitment to become an ambassador for Christ? Anyone want today to make a goal of taking this gospel and becoming an ambassador and bringing people here so we can fill this house up, so that we can love on them and train them and disciple them and teach them the things of God so they can be prepared to go out and make a difference for Him? Is there anybody here that wants this place filled up by the end of 2017? Is there anybody here that wants to worship God in spirit and truth? Is there anybody here that wants to take a portion of what God gives them in their check every week and give it back to the ministry of this church? Father, I give You the glory today, Lord. Father, I thank You for Your word. Father, I want to become a better ambassador for You for this year, Lord. I want to take the gifts and talents You've given me and go outside these walls and share Your truth, Father. Because there are a lot of people, maybe in our own families, maybe people living next door, maybe in the cubicle where we work, maybe in the locker in our high school or junior high, where someone's lost and they haven't been shared the gospel with. They haven't been shared the difference between heaven and hell. They haven't been shared the difference between knowing Christ and living for Christ and just talking about Christ. Father, I ask You to bless our offering today. Father, I pray that You bless those, Lord. Thank You. Every time I take an offering, I want to thank those who give, Father. And I ask You to bless them. Your word tells you that, the word tells us that, go ahead and test me in this. Go ahead and test me and give and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and bless you. So, Father, I pray that a lot of blessings will be going on in this year in this church, Father, where people will be healed, where marriages will be strengthened, where teenagers and children will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I just give You the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.